It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Yesterday afternoon, Democratic Governor Tony Evers released an emotional video on social media announcing his plans for the 2026 election.
It's why Wisconsin, I'm announcing that I will not be running for a third term. I'm so humbled to be your governor. This is the best job I ever had.
In the two-minute video, Evers talks about how his family has sacrificed to support him in his 50 years in public service and that being governor was the best job he ever had. Evers' announcement is a shakeup in Wisconsin politics. For the first time in 16 years, the state will see a wide-open race for governor. Here to talk about this moment is Sean Johnson, WPR's Capital Bureau Chief. Sean, thanks for joining us.
Hi, Kate. Thanks for having me.
You characterize this as a bombshell decision in your reporting on the announcement. Were you surprised?
Yes and no. I mean, I think based on the assumption that I had for most of this year, it was surprising because I thought for months that the governor was going to run for a third term. That was the signal that, you know, his people were sending. It was just the going assumption in state government that it was going to happen. I would say for a week, maybe a little bit more, it started to look like he might be out just based on conversations I was having. Either way, though, it is just such a big decision because the governor is so powerful in Wisconsin. And, you know, typically people just don't want to leave politics when they have it all in a way. And that's what Tony Evers is doing here. He's saying it's someone else's turn.
Talk a little more about what he said about not running for another term, what kind of points he was making in this video.
It was, you know, it was a couple minutes of a recorded message. So it's not like a press conference where he took questions, but he did. It was family. It was what he pointed to. Remember that before he was governor, Tony Evers was state superintendent of public instruction and won three terms there. So he's been running statewide campaigns for a while now. He referenced, a 50-year career in public service because he was an educator and school administrator prior to getting into, statewide politics, and said, you know, he couldn't have done it without his family. And so now it's time to focus on them.
So wide open race with Evers, you know, this would be, I guess, since 2010 with no incumbent in the race.
Right.
Scott Walker won that race and was in office for two terms. What might take shape on both sides of the aisle with Evers out of the race?
Well, I guess the thing I'm like reminding myself of is that it is very easy to say you might want to run for governor at this point in the race. And it costs somebody nothing. They just can say, like, I'm thinking about it. People are encouraging me to run. And so based on sort of that low barrier to entry, you have a lot of people right now who are saying that they might get into the race. We'll see how many of them actually take the steps to form a campaign and how long it lasts. All that said, it does feel like it could be a pretty big primary on the Democratic side and potentially the Republican side too, just based on the types of people who are throwing their names out. And, you know, not having an incumbent just makes it feel winnable to people who are on the fence. I mean, if you're in politics and think that someday you might want to be governor, at running when there's no incumbent in the race is a pretty good time to give it a shot.
Mm-hmm. Well, take us back to 2018 when Evers was first elected as governor. How many candidates threw in their hat at that time? What was the political context at that time compared to now ahead of 2026?
I've been thinking a lot about that race because my memory was that in the winter before the 2018 election, so we'll say like December 2017, I want to say there were 13 Democrats who had said they were running, something like that, or around a dozen candidates. That's a lot. I mean, there were people I'd never heard of who were jumping into the race for governor because they felt like, hey, this is a good time to jump into this thing. There's no clear front runner. The big primary means the vote's going to be divided. And so you had a massive Democratic primary that, you know, Tony Evers one-handedly, we know how that went now. I do think that the moment is similar. I mean, I think that when we look back at the time we're living through right now, the history books will probably say, hey, a lot was happening in 2025. But politically speaking, the 2018 election was a Trump midterm. I mean, it was a time when Democrats were out of power in the White House, and that tends to mean good things for them. And so you had a lot of Democrats jumping into that race to take on then Republican Governor Scott Walker.
We're talking with Sean Johnson, Capitol Bureau Chief at WPR, about Governor Evers' announcement yesterday that he will not be seeking re-election and what this means for the political landscape in Wisconsin ahead of the 2026 election. Sean, let's get into some names here. We heard, of course, this morning, Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez is throwing her hat into the ring, announcing her bid this morning. What can you tell us first on the Democratic side about possible, you know, people in the field?
Yeah, she wins the race for being first to formally announce.
Okay.
It's official. But it's close because other candidates are practically there. Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley sent out a press release from his campaign today saying, in the weeks ahead, I will be taking steps toward entering the race for governor. The stakes are simply too high to sit on the sidelines. So, you know, you could say David Crowley arguably was right up there in front with Sarah Rodriguez, but not a formal announcement yet from him.
Okay.
Other people who might run: Attorney General Josh Call, Secretary of State Sarah Godlewski, Milwaukee Mayor Cavalier Johnson has said, I would be interested if Tony Evers didn't run. State Senator Kel DeRoys of Madison. I talked to former Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes yesterday, who was Tony Evers' Lieutenant Governor his first term. He said he's thinking about the race. And former Democratic Party Chair of Wisconsin Ben Wickler is a potential candidate. He is known nationally for his fundraising prowess.
Okay, so I forgot to count there. I wasn't counting on my fingers, but it seems like there's a lot of names in the mix. What about on the Republican side?
On the Republican side, we already have a couple people prior to the governor's decision who had entered the race. Washington County Executive Josh Shulman, businessman Bill Berrien were already formally candidates. A couple possible contenders at least. Congressman Tom Tiffany has sent pretty strong hints that he wants to run for governor. And then yesterday, I don't know if it was a real hint or just like kind of having a little fun during a news cycle, but former Governor Scott Walker sent out this tweet.
Interesting.
I'd describe it the best I can. It was a picture of a Make Wisconsin Great Again hat, you know, in the style of the Trump Make America Great Again hat. It said 45-47 on the side, which that refers to Trump's first term in office, 45th president of the United States and the 47th president of the United States. Incidentally, as Scott Walker knows, he was the 45th governor of Wisconsin. And if he were to win next year, he would be the 47th governor of Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. So he presented this he just said, interesting. And an earlier version of a tweet or a post on X from Scott Walker had a little winking emoji. He took that out later in the day. I don't know why. But so Scott Walker wants people to know, hey, I'm a pretty prominent Republican. And, you know, what about me?
So we've seen really high dollar races in Wisconsin elections. And then looking back to 2022, the governor's race set a record for spending by candidates and outside special groups, reaching over $164 million. What could be in store for spending in this race?
I would say a lot of money. You know, I'll just go out on a limb and say it's going to be expensive, because in 2022, you had a Senate race also. And so donors were kind of divided into, you know, where their money was going. There was a big Senate race between Republican Ron Johnson and Mandela Barnes, which was very close. And that was huge. Mm. We don't have that this time. There's just the governor's race in terms of big statewide races. I mean, there are other constitutional offices that will be on the ballot in November, like attorney general, et cetera. But there's no Senate race to pull money away. So there's going to be a lot spent on this governor's race, given all the stakes and how much power the office holds.
The legislature has been under Republican control since 2011. Democrats are also trying to flip control there as they try to hold on to the governor's office, the veto pen. What is the strategy? And is this party united?
I don't know that you can look at sort of the debates that Democrats are having nationally for the most part right now and say that it's a united party. I think there's a real struggle for the direction they want to go in this age of Trump, you know, the second term of Trump, when so much is happening in Washington and, you know, the party is sort of trying to decide, who are we going to be? Are we going to attack this really aggressively and kind of shift to the left, or are we going to move to the right a little bit and moderate? Those are questions that get asked every time a party's out of power, and especially in primary season. And I think you're going to see that play out, especially if you have, you know, more than a half dozen Democrats running. You'll get to see a little microcosm of the debate over the future of the Democratic Party in Wisconsin.
So this is all happening a full year ahead of the election. It's taking place in November 2026. Remind us of primary season and when you think the details of this race will come into clearer focus for voters?
I think the reason you're seeing candidates jump in right now is because while the race is more than a year away, it's time. I won't say it's late, but you have to run for governor now if you're going to do it. There's only so much time for these candidates to mull whether or not they're going to get into the race, because as some of these bigger names potentially jump into the race, supporters are going to kind of sort out to one camp or another. And so I would say over the next month or so, you're going to see most of the Democrats who are going to do this get in there and announce their intentions. Certainly by winter, I think you'll know generally who's going to run on the Democratic side. And I think there could be a similar time frame on the Republican side, though. In the last election cycle, it played out a little later than that. Republicans had a shakeup late in the cycle that saw them eventually nominate Tim Michaels as their candidate for governor.
Sean, thank you so much.
Thanks, Kate.
That's Sean Johnson, WPR's Capital Bureau Chief.